You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome on into the Locked On Syracuse podcast, coming at you a little bit later than usual on this Wednesday, but we thank you for checking us out. We're with you every single weekday here, Monday through Friday. Also find us on Twitter at @LO_Syracuse and hit that subscribe button if you are new to the show. We're talking all things Orange every single day, Boeheim's Army. We're going to get into some more stuff too, with what's going on at ACC Media Day, what's Jim Phillips saying, what is Syracuse and the staff and some of the players that are out there, what all they're saying. We're going to get to that stuff later on in the week, but today we've got a special treat for you. We've got Andrew White, the single season three-point leader in Syracuse history. He only played for one season, but a lot of Orange fans really endeared themselves to White and how he became a leader and made an immediate impact with this Syracuse team. Even though they didn't make the tournament, that was still a pretty fun Syracuse team to watch. He knocked off three top 10 teams that season. So we're going to talk all things Boeheim's Army today with Andrew. Then on tomorrow's show, we're going to get into more of the stuff from his Syracuse career and how everything played out there and maybe what went wrong with that team, because they had some of the highest highs of Syracuse teams of the past 5 years from a regular season standpoint. They just never got to that big dance. And then we're also going to continue with our most important pass catcher series. Today, we've got number three, and I'll tell you this, it might be a surprise to some of you Syracuse fans. You may not agree with us, and if you don't, sound off on Twitter at us, at @LO_Syracuse. We'll give you our rationale why, but you might be in for a surprise today at who is number three on the list. So let's get into it right now. We've got Andrew White. All right, pleased to be joined now by the all-time single season three-point record holder at Syracuse, a Boeheim's Army vet. And I got to say, during my time at Syracuse, one of the nicest guys I ever encountered in any locker room setting or any athletic setting. It's Andrew White. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us here.
Hey, you guys. I appreciate you guys having me.
So I guess we'll start with this. With Boeheim's Army, you guys are less than a week out from getting going now. What's the practice scene been like? What's the roster looking like? How good do you think this team is?
We've been having some really intense and organized practices, getting ready to head out for my second one of the day here in a little bit. So we started up on Monday, and we've been doing two-a-days. This will be our third day doing so. And we've just put in a lot of good concepts, just a couple simple things just to organize us in case we get stagnant. But obviously we have a lot of players who have played at a high level, have good IQs. So the more simple we make this thing, the less thoughtful we'll have to be in terms of scheme and stuff like that. So I think we got a really good shot of it if we bring our best ball. Roster looks good. We got guys that can do a little bit of everything. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think this is the year.
So from the outside, it seems like you guys have kind of changed things up a little bit this year. You bring in a new head coach. You bring in some non-SU guys, which I guess you've done in the past, but a couple more, some really good players from overseas elite. Do you feel like there's a different mindset in this group that you're really kind of going all in this year?
I think just giving ourselves the best chance to win. I mean, it's not necessarily going out of Syracuse or this or that. I think Kevin and Adam Weissman has been supporting us, helping us put this team together. I think they're just doing everything they can just to assemble the best team. And they've done a great job at it. They've given us every opportunity to win this thing based on how they've assembled it. So now it's just on us to go out there and get it done. But having the best talent doesn't guarantee you anything. A lot of time in this event, the most talented team doesn't win. So the tougher, more together team normally wins this event, and we plan to be that on top of being talented.
So a lot of Syracuse fans I've seen are a little upset that there's so many non-Orange players on this team. Mm-hmm. What would you say to them about the fact that it's not a pure Orange blood roster?
You know, for this event, obviously, it's Boeheim's Army. We're traditionally a Syracuse alumni team, but, you know, there are some guys who have had some other commitments in the past that have prevented us from having as many guys as we want. And a lot of times the deeper your team is, the better chance you have. So, you know, for those people who, you know, would like to see all Syracuse, I tell you what, we'll win this thing as is, and we can have a reunion, just strictly Syracuse or whatever. You know, we can always do that. But for this event, obviously, the goal is to win it. And I think, you know, that's what I want those people to embrace, is that we got guys who are coming in, buying to the culture, a lot of which, you know, we did at Syracuse, and they can help us. So as far as I'm concerned, those are Syracuse guys for these next couple of weeks.
Yeah, if you guys win, we will have no complaints on
right,
this.
Right, yeah.
Give them honorary degrees.
Yeah, right. You get to see Chris. You get to see Tyler, Eric, myself. You know, we got plenty of orange in there. You won't even notice.
Yeah, I mean, you were only at Cuse for a year, and we adopted you pretty quickly. We can treat them like graduate students as well.
Yeah. Listen, this thing, obviously, it's great to have the Syracuse ties, but at the end of the day, we're playing this to win, and we're playing for money. And you got to give yourselves the best chance to do that. And I think those additions outside of Syracuse will give us a great chance to do so.
So one of the guys you brought up was Adam Weitzman. And Tim and I are always fascinated by this guy. Worldwide Weitz, as I like to call him, of the really like the world circles. He knows everyone, whether it's the Pauls, whether it's all these different celebrities. But what's your relationship like with Adam Weitzman, and did he have to do any prodding to get you to play on this team?
No, he didn't have to recruit me or anything like that. He's just been supporting our team. So Kevin has been our GM, and he's just been there to support us. So he's been around. We've done some events where we've done some appearances. He's been there. Just a really good guy, you know, and I mean, the only horse he has in a race is just seeing us be at our best and giving us all the opportunities to do so. So I'm thankful that he got involved. He's given a lot of support to our team to make sure we're comfortable and stuff like that. And I think that needs to be noted, you know, so he feels appreciated. But all he cares about is seeing these guys do well. And, you know, you got to take your hat off to a guy like that. Very personable guy. Very unselfish, and we appreciate them.
Hey, the basketball season has come to a close, but that isn't the end of your hoops betting. Yeah, you heard me right. We've got TBT, and you can bet on it right now on betonline.ag. They've got everything from TBT lines to NBA draft props. That's right around the corner, so the season might be over. Giannis may be holding the trophy, but you can already get a jump start on next season as well with some NBA futures. Do you like the Bucks to repeat? You can go bet on it right now on betonline.ag. They've got you covered with all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs. It's not just basketball that you can bet on. Baseball in full swing, of course, and you can get out ahead of everything as well with some NFL, NHL, all that good stuff. So before the next pitch, basket, all that stuff, head on over to betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON. When you use that promo code LOCKEDON, you will get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
What can you tell us about the new head coach, Jeremy Pope? Because I know Ryan Blackwell did a great job for a lot of years. He's still on as an assistant coach here. But with Pope, what has his approach been to these practices and kind of the mindset of the team so far?
He's a very well-organized guy, from my understanding. He spent some time with Coach Hop. He is at Portland now. He's doing well, and I just see him as a great young coach. He's been simple, just put in a couple concepts just to make sure that we're all on the same page and just go out and let players be players. So I think he's been a great addition to the team. Coach Blackwell is still there, very involved. He gets in there, he plays with us, does whatever, you know, he has to do, just provides, you know, great service for the team, you know, and that's somebody I lean on a lot when I'm here in these events. Fun guy to be around. So this takes everybody, from your coaches to people who aren't playing, people who are in the game, coaches, everybody helping. You know, it takes a lot to build this thing up because you have such a short window of time to mesh and get together to win this thing. So Pope, Blackwell, you know, Adam, all those guys, Kev, all those guys have been great to us.
One of the other unique things about this year, and for you in particular, is the three-point contest that you're going to be participating in. Mm-hmm. How did that come about? And it's fitting for the guy who has the single season record for Syracuse and three-pointers made.
Yeah, I was asked, I believe, Kev and Sean Belby. I forgot to mention him. He's also an assistant coach, been helping us drive around. That's my guy. I played with him. I wanted to throw him a mention in too. But, yeah, he asked me about it, and he's going to be my designated passer and rebounder for this event. And since everybody had a designated shooter, you know, I guess they just felt like, you know, I was worthy of that job. So I'm going to go try to bring it home for the team.
Well, if you don't do well, you can immediately just throw all the blame on Sean Belby. He'll just say his passes were off or something.
For sure.
At the knees, what, yeah.
There's a lot on the line. We both have to be on top of our game, but I feel like we can do that.
So can you explain the contest? It's not a normal three-point contest, right? Like
he's got to track
down the rebounds?
Yeah, so the contest says I will have a ball. I'll be standing at half court. I have to dribble into the three-point line. That is my first shot. And from that point on, it's catch and shoot with Sean as my only passer, rebounding and passing. So the trick to that, outside of obviously making shots, is if you do miss one, to make sure you get a good clean miss and a good clean retrieve from your rebounder to get back on track. And it's first to 11 threes wins. And each round, since each team has a designated shooter, it's kind of single elimination tournament style, just as the team bracket is.
Oh, I like that. That's a new little twist to it. I think that's interesting. Yeah. I want to ask you a little bit about Sean, because you played with him when you were at Syracuse, and you've gotten to know him a little bit over the past couple of years through Boeheim's Army and just post-grad life too. I know he does a lot of stuff with training, NBA guys, college guys, all that. What do you see the future for a guy like Sean Belby?
He's committed to that. You know, he spent a lot of time and he's been around a lot of people and a lot of pros to kind of build himself up to create his own business for himself. So I think he does a good job at it. That's his passion. And I think there's a huge market and demand for people that can do skill development. I know he's working with some kids, some high school, some college. So he's seen a little bit of everything. And to be able to have a calling, you know, right out of college is great. And I wish the best for him just because that's my guy. He was my little shadow my whole year at Syracuse. You know, him and I still stay in touch now. So I definitely see a lot of promise for him and wish him well. You know, he helped me a lot in my time here and still does today.
You know, it's funny. You talk about that year that you were at Syracuse. It feels like you were there for more than just a year. I don't know why, maybe. And you guys didn't even make the tournament, which was a bummer because I felt like you guys were playing some really good basketball towards the end of that year. But when you reflect on that year, there was the Duke game. There was some big upsets, some struggles in the non-conference portion. What do you sort of remember from that year?
Oh, just had a great, great time, you know, to come in and just be embraced by the people to get that dream plan situation. Great coaching staff, great teammates around me. You know, I had a great experience. And obviously the tournament and winning in the tournament is kind of what marks your legacy at Syracuse. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. And I just embrace, you know, what we were able to make out of it. So I feel like it was an entertaining team. We still get a lot of support despite not making that tournament, and I'm thankful for that.
All right, going to cut part one with Andrew right there. He'll be back on the show tomorrow, though, so you'll get some more intel into his Syracuse career and a little more of what went down during that 2017 season. I feel like that's a big what if for a lot of Syracuse fans. What would have happened if that team got into the tournament? So we will discuss that with Andrew. But coming up next, we've got our number three most important pass catcher. We told you, you might be in for a little bit of a surprise, so stay tuned. We're going to have pass catcher number three in our most important series coming up next. Hey, did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There is literally a flavor for everyone. And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they are always passionate about their faves. Mine, the peanut butter brownie. You've heard me talk about it for months now. And if you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you are missing out. You can get anything from fruit flavors like cherry, barcia, and raspberry to some traditional chocolate ones like double chocolate or cookies and cream, German chocolate. And if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box as well, where they'll give you two of each of the 9 flavors. And not only are Built Bars the best tasting protein bars, but they're also healthy for you too. Just check out some of the stats here. 17 to 18 grams of protein and only 130 to 180 calories, with only 4 to 5 grams of sugars to go with it. So order today and get the grasshopper cookie or raspberry or whatever you like. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team as well. Go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 15% off your order. That's built.com, promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off your order. All right, we're continuing our positional previews, the countdown style here on the Locked On Syracuse podcast. It's pass catchers this week. You heard it on Monday and Tuesday. We gave you the 5th and 4th most important pass catchers on this roster, and today we crack it down inside the top 3, and this is where the word important versus skilled is an important distinguishment here, because importance-wise, he's number 3 on our list, but skills-wise, by far and away, he is number 1, and that is where we get to Taj Harris here. It may be surprising to some people to see Taj at 3, but I think from an important standpoint, I know what I'm getting out of Taj Harris. He is going to be the best receiver on this team heading into the year. You and I have sung the praises of Taj. He burst onto the scene as a freshman and set a couple of freshman records, and he's just really gotten better year after year. I know his numbers were a little bit down in his sophomore season, but you saw Tristan Jackson go out and have a big impact that year. And then when he did become the number one receiver this season, he was getting you about 6 catches a game, about 75 yards, and a touchdown every other game.
Yeah, he's been good. He really has. And I think you're right. The way I view these rankings and going forward, maybe people can kind of keep this in mind, but one exercise I was thinking is, if this guy has an overachieving season, or he plays better than we're expecting, what does that do for Syracuse? So in other words, if Taj Harris breaks out and has an even better year than last year, does that help Syracuse? Absolutely. It helps them a good bit. But I think the other guys that we're going to get to from the pass catcher position, if they break out, then it becomes an entirely different wide receiver group. And all of a sudden you're looking at wide receiver as maybe a strength, because we already know that Taj is good enough to be one of the best wide receivers on an ACC team, which is saying a lot. And he has had a very nice career to this point.
One of the most elusive guys in the country when you look at it. I mean, we've said it. When you see him get the ball in the open field, it usually takes a couple guys to bring him down, which is impressive for a guy who's what? About 170 soaking wet? And he's got the size, 6'2". The one part of his game that we have not seen really utilized is the jump ball. And I don't know if he has that in him. He's 6'2", good athlete, but he's more of a speedster on the outside. And you'll see him catch the long ball, but you'll never really see him elevate over guys. That's why the touchdown numbers aren't awful. I mean, you look year to year.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah.
But like last season, he had 5. But when you get to the red zone, you're going to have to do it off of screens. A lot of his touchdowns are going to come from 15 to 20 to 30 plus yards wise. And that's not a bad trait per se, but that's where you need the establishment of one of these other guys on the outside. And that's who we're going to get to on Thursday and Friday when we count down number 2 and number 1 on our most important pass catchers, because there needs to be an elevator. Taj is the speed on the outside, and the fact that he has the elusiveness and he can run the screen routes and he can run the stuff over the middle and he can run the fly route, that's what makes him effective for this offense. And I know what I'm going to get out of him every single game from that department.
Yeah, and we talked about Luke Benson yesterday at number 4 on this list, and we made the case on how maybe he doesn't necessarily fit the Syracuse offense great. Taj fits the Syracuse offense to a T almost, because they run a lot of verts, they run a lot of deep passes, and a lot of go routes, and Taj is perfect for that, and he's been really good in that department, and honestly, he could be maybe a little bit better statistically on those routes if Tommy was giving him some better passes or they just lined up. But when you dive into his numbers, we've talked about this before, he's not great at contested catches, but he's great at going deep. He's great at catching a pass and then picking up yards after the catch. He's actually probably the best in the country at yards after the catch from the Power 5 level in the past couple years. Most stats back that up. So it's pretty impressive what he's accumulated to date for Syracuse. He's going to have to put up really great numbers again this year, though, and I'd like to see him add maybe a little bit more of just, like, versatility to his route package in his game, because right now what we mostly see is him running the hitch route and him running the go route, and if he can catch more passes over the middle, if he can add a little bit more to his game, which, again, probably falls more on Syracuse developing their offense and their offensive playbook more, then he could really blossom into maybe one day an NFL talent, despite being very undersized for the position from a weight perspective.
You know how both of us feel as him as a pass catcher. He is the best pass catcher that is returning to this team. But I think the question now becomes, is he the best offensive player that is returning to this team? You look at guys like Sean Tucker. I don't think you're singling out anyone on the offensive line as super impressive. Quarterback position, probably not. But is he maybe not even the best returning player? Is he the best offensive player on this team? And it feels like a two-horse race between him and Sean Tucker. But the difference is I've seen Taj Harris do this for 3 years. I haven't seen Sean Tucker do it for 3 years. Now, that's obviously not his fault because he's only been a freshman. But I do think Taj Harris is the best returning player on this offensive team.
Yeah, and I think that also comes down to consistency a little bit for him to take a next step, because let's not forget he was suspended from a game last year. Right. I mean, that's not entirely consistency, but he's had some issues off the field that have led to maybe not all of us being all 100% in on Taj Harris at times. But I guess when you really crack into his numbers, like consistency-wise, it's pretty good. I mean, he's had some huge games. Whether it was NC State last year, he went for 13 and 146. He's had some long touchdowns, some big plays. I think he had a 94-yard touchdown in his freshman year, which was, I believe, against NC State, if I'm remembering correctly. But either way, he's had these big home run passes. He caught one from Rex Culpepper right on one of Rex's first series last year. I think
game.
It was in the Pitt when he came in for DeVito. So he's been a go-to guy for a little bit now, and he's going to have to be the go-to guy next year. Tucker has probably been a little bit more consistent. It's a tough one to answer, though, because I immediately think about potential, and Sean Tucker probably has more potential just by default because he's a younger player. But if you're talking about just this year and projecting numbers and impact to the team, Taj Harris might be the most significant offensive performer this year.
And talent-wise, he's probably number one. I mean, you can look at Tucker's talent and you can look at Taj's talent. I think Taj is number one. It's very tough to come in and be wide receiver option what? Like number four when he was a freshman and grab 40 balls as a true freshman? That's impressive stuff. Now, you highlighted something that I think is very important. I need to see a better teammate out of Taj Harris, because you're the star on this offense and you're repping the team in Charlotte this week at ACC Media Day. Yet, I look at your body of work of what happens on the field, and when the camera's on you, we saw flipping the bird last year on camera. Yeah. That was a real dark spot on what Taj Harris.
A lot
Harris,
of complaining between him and DeVito. It just seems like they're never on the same page.
When he's pissed off.
Yeah.
That's another thing. And how about this too? Last season, 4 penalties. That's a lot for
a
receiver. No one who lines up off the offensive line last year for the Syracuse team had more than one. And the 4 in general were 10th most among wide receivers in the entire country. So I do need to see a better teammate from Taj Harris if he is going to go out there and be the role model. And really just for development, too. That's important. That's important in any sport, of bringing up the next generation, because guess what? You're heading into your senior season here. You should be a lot more mature than flipping the camera off and being pouty when the ball doesn't come your way and jumping up and asking where the ball is. You don't want that label on you. And NFL teams aren't going to want to take a chance on you if there is that quote unquote diva personality to you.
He needs to be a leader on this team. And also, I guess you could look at it another way in terms of most important players and say, if he is down due to injury, if he is out of a game due to a suspension, whatever, then that costs Syracuse maybe more than any other player, well, non-quarterback player on offense, I would say. Because if
I think you could even lump in quarterback there, because you have 2 options at quarterback.
Yeah,
you didn't have that last year. Whereas if Taj goes down, someone's got to step the hell up.
Yeah, and they don't have a, it's number one Taj in your receiving corp as we look at it right now. And we're going to get to two guys later that I think, like on Thursday and Friday, that I think could blossom into a clear cut number two here in this receiving corp. But as we look at it right now, it's Taj number one. It's enter, 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 and then you drop off to another tier. So
right.
If he's not the guy this year, then they're in trouble.
One thing that you brought up when we were talking about Courtney Jackson is the slot presence of Taj Harris. And I want to pull up a couple of things from last season that I saw out of the slot. So two of his three best games of the season, the NC State game that you highlighted where he went for almost 150 on 13 catches, and then the Duke game, where he had six catches, 138 yards, and a touchdown, caught that beautiful ball from Tommy DeVito. I believe it was right before the half. Those were two of his three highest slot presence games. And that NC State game where he explodes, 13, 146, and a touchdown, that was his highest slot percentage of the season. It was at 22% of the snaps that he was on the field for. He was in the slot. If you can establish someone on the outside, a couple of guys on the outside to go across from Anthony Quealy, that putting Taj in the slot, A, is going to take a lot of pressure off of Courtney Jackson, but B, your four receiver sets are going to be a lot more impressive. And I was a little skeptical when you first brought it up, but after seeing some of these numbers and how impactful he was out of the slot, I'm buying in. I'm bought in. If you can get Taj Harris into the slot, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, me too, man. I think best case scenario for this receiving corp going forward is they get a couple guys that break out this year that are on the younger scale that we're counting on, that we're hoping on, and you can throw those guys. Hopefully, Quealy's one of them because we already kind of know that he's been able to do it to a degree and to an extent. So you have two outside guys, and then you throw Taj into the slot because, I don't know about you, but as we were talking about Courtney Jackson on Monday, I just don't get that excited about Courtney Jackson anymore.
No.
Maybe it's just the post-hype thing where we got the hype when he was in camp and now I'm just sort of waiting for him to do it. But right now, I don't feel great about Courtney Jackson as a starting receiver at Syracuse. If you can spread the wealth and put Taj inside, I think that helps him out matchup-wise too. And then it just gives them more versatility on offense when they have a slot receiver that is a go-to guy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And again, we highlighted the one weakness in his game. It's jump ball, and that's not going to be an issue as much if you're running out of the slot. All right, that's going to do it for us here on today's Locked On Syracuse. Tomorrow, we're right back at it with Andrew White, and we're also going to give you pass catcher number two, so be on the lookout for that. Tomorrow with Andrew, we're going to get into a lot of stuff with his Syracuse career. What went down in that 2017 season where Syracuse did not make the tournament, but there were plenty of highs during the regular season. Maybe one of the more successful regular season teams in terms of the caliber of opponent beaten throughout the season. So we will dive into all of that with Andrew White and give you pass catcher number two in our most important series. That's coming up on tomorrow's show. So for Tim, I'm Tyler. We will be back with you guys tomorrow.